Hi, friends. Hi, church family. Let's begin with a prayer based on 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 2, verse 13. We thank you, O God, because it's only fitting, because people are growing in their faith. And we pray that we'll continue to grow in our faith. Our faith will be enlarged. And thank you for people growing in their love towards one another. And we pray that we will continue to grow in our love for one another. We also thank you, God, that we don't fully understand it, but that you have chosen us from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by your Spirit and faith in the truth. Thank you for these truths. Thank you that you don't give up on us. In Jesus' name, amen. The pep talk continues in John chapter 17. And this one reminded me of a couple months ago when I was planting some tomato plants from seed. And they had sprouted and doing very well, but it's always a very tender thing moving them from the seed out into the garden outside. A storm can take them out easily. If you're not tender and careful, and any number of things can wipe them out. And that makes me think about Christians. There are times when we can get really down. We lack confidence, and we need a boost of confidence to keep us going. We're at a very tender moment. And I find in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, some boost to confidence, where Jesus, as we have a chance to listen to him, pray to the Father, this can boost our confidence, just listening to the way he prays. We, in the first five verses, as we noticed on Sunday, it's Jesus praying about himself to the Father. Now, beginning in verse 6, he transitions and he begins to pray for his followers, for his disciples, for those he's saved from his sin. And we have this opportunity to just hear him pray. And it's very conversational. There's a contrast between the way we often pray, where it's one request after another. Jesus in his prayer is very conversational with the Father. And it gives us an example. Pray in this way as you talk to the Father. So as he's in this dialogue and conversation with the Father, he's first acknowledging that the Father gave certain ones to him. And we pick that up in John 17, verse 6 in his prayer. Where it says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. You'll find the verb 17 times, the verb gave in this chapter. It puts a huge emphasis on giving, how much God gives. And the Lord acknowledging here that you had certain ones, and you gave them to me during my ministry here on earth. How do we understand this concept? I think the explanation goes into that doctrine of God choosing certain individuals, God predestining certain individuals for adoption. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 develops this theme where Paul writes, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. So we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then it says, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will. So as Jesus is conversing with the Father, there are certain ones that the Father had that were his own. And he gave them to his son, and they came to believe in him during his ministry on earth. And Jesus says here, I manifested your name, or I revealed your name to them. To reveal the name of the Father is to show what the Father's like, his character and what he's like. And he revealed them to these disciples, and they came, and they received the word, and they kept this word and this ministry that Jesus has had and this message that he brought. Now, we don't have to fully understand this doctrine of being chosen and predestined in order to believe it. It's biblical. It might be beyond our capacity to fully understand it, but we can still believe it, and it can give us tremendous confidence. For one thing, I think it gives us this real sense that I have been given by the Father to the Son to believe in him. And I'm eternally grateful for that. And I am eternally loved in experiencing that and embraced by the Father's love in that way. I think another boost of confidence as we go out and minister to people, there are people out there who haven't yet believed that the Father has given to the Son. I don't know who they are, but I'm going to rub shoulders with some of them, and the Father is going to use my witness, use your witness, to give them to Jesus, to believe in Jesus. And we can have that kind of confidence as we go out and serve and witness for Christ. I think this concept also should help us have a lot more respect for our fellow Christian. Even if you don't, on a real friendly basis with some people, and it's hard to be friends, you still need to realize that the Father has given that person to the Son. And I think we need to treat one another with much more respect, recognizing that reality. Well, the conversation continues in the prayer where Jesus, the Son, reflects on how the Father has given him a message. And that's brought out in verses 7 and 8 where the Father gave a message to the Son and he passed it along. The apostles, these followers of Jesus, they grasped that everything came from the Father that was given to him, including his message. And he points that out in verse 7. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received it. So everything that Jesus had, including his message, was given to him by the Father, and he's passed it along to these apostles, to these disciples, and passed them along to us as well. And we've received it. We've understood it. And then it says, they came to understand that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. So Jesus is unique in this way. He is the one that came forth from the Father. And he was sent from the Father. In the original language, it's a word for sent, which implies sent with an official, authoritative sending. It's the authority of God behind it as the Father sends the Son. And we can recognize that Jesus is totally unique in this way. There's no other person that has come forth from the Father. There's no other person that was sent forth with this kind of authority, this kind of official authority with unique mission that Jesus was sent on. But when we come to believe in Jesus, we participate in that authority. So again, it gives so much confidence, first of all, to know that the words, the message of Jesus was given to him by the Father. It's a unique, powerful message, and we could have confidence in our message. Even though we might feel kind of feeble, we might feel that we're not being very effective, we can still have confidence that in spite of our feebleness, the message we have has the authority of God behind it. And the mission we're carrying out has the very authority of God the Father and God the Son behind it. Even though we feel weak and we feel like we're not being very effective, we're still engaged in a mission that has God's authority behind it as he sends us out in the name of Jesus. Well, the conversation and the prayer continues where now Jesus intercedes for those who belong to the Father, those who have been given to him by the Father, and he picks this up in verses 9 and 10. And again, it's very conversational. There's not a lot of requests here. Some requests are coming, but you just get this sense that there's this heartwarming talk between God the Son and God the Father, where he's talking about those that the Father has given to him. And he makes it real clear here at this point, he's not praying for people in the world. He's not praying for people who haven't believed and the unbelieving people of the world. So we pick up that emphasis in verse 9. I ask on their behalf. I don't ask on behalf of the world, the unbelieving people of the world. I'm not requesting, I'm not asking on behalf of them, but of those whom you have given to me. Father, those are the ones that I'm asking, interceding for at this point. Isn't it heartwarming to know that Jesus the Son personally interceded for his followers? He had you in mind, he had me in mind, he had these apostles in mind. Those that the Father gave to him, those are the ones that he's asking for. And what a confidence booster that is, that he has interceded for us in that way. And then he says, for they are yours. Father, they're yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And again, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, of course, they own all of these things together, this message, and including all of these redeemed people. And if you're a follower of Christ, you're one of this number that the Father has given to the Son. You're one of the redeemed, one of the saved. And the Son has prayed specifically for you. And realizing that you're God the Father's possession, you're God the Son's possession, and they mutually share these things and cherish these things together, and you're part of all that. What a confidence booster that is, to see that all that he has invested in you. And then he adds at the end of that verse, I have been glorified in them. It's so clear as you look through the gospel, the failure of the disciples, the weaknesses of the disciples consistently comes to the surface. And I think I can identify with that, with my own failure. Sometimes I think there's nothing coming forth from my life that is glorifying God at all. And it's easy to focus on my failures. It's easy for you to do the same thing, to focus on your failures. And we can easily focus on one another's failures. But Jesus says here, I have been glorified in them. So in spite of all the failures, he still was glorified in them. These are ones who are receptive to Jesus in his message. These are ones who believed. These are ones who were teachable. These were ones who were open and they were obedient. And when they blew it, they were open to being corrected. And they wanted to obey Christ. They wanted to be following him. And they were ones who were loyal. So his specific request and concern is about that group. And of course, we're included in that as well. And how heartwarming it is to know, okay, we fail a lot, we sin a lot, we feel like we're not getting anywhere in terms of bringing glory and honor to the Father. And yet Jesus makes this strong statement, I have been glorified in them. And the same could be said of you. If you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Lord wants you to know you have glorified the Lord Jesus with your receptivity, with your teachableness, with your response of faith, with your wanting to be loyal, even though you're struggling with it, still wanting to be loyal and obedient to him. God the Son has been glorified in your life, and he will yet be glorified more in your life, in our life together, as we follow him. Let's take a few moments and have our time of prayer as we respond to this prayer of Jesus that we've been able to handle. Let's just ask, first of all, that we can be more conversational by the way we talk to the Father, just like Jesus did, not just one request after another, but be very conversational in the way we approach our Father. Let's just ask him to help us to pray that way. Hey, let's pray that God will restore our confidence in him. Some of us don't have a lot of confidence right now. And let's just ask that the Lord would build and restore our confidence in him. This chapter emphasizes that God is the giving God. Why don't you stop and thank God for five things that he has given to you? Let's pray for those who are faint-hearted and discouraged right now. Maybe that's you. Let's just take some time and pray for those people to be lifted up. And let's pray that God will be glorified more in our life. How heartwarming it is to know that we have glorified him, and may it be even more so that we would glorify him and honor him. Father, we thank you for working to reveal yourself to us. Thank you for giving us to your Son. And thank you for the message that has your authority behind it, that we can participate in sharing it with others. We thank you, Lord, that your Son interceded for us, prayed for us. And you, of course, have heard those prayers. And it's our desire, Lord, in responding to your love for us, that we would honor and glorify you more, both by the way we relate to one another and with the way we relate to other people, and the way our confidence would just be stronger in you as we go about life. In the name of Christ, our High Priest, we pray. Amen. Friends, it's been good to be with you during this time. This is the last of our series on Wednesday nights, at least for a while. But I hope this has been very encouraging for you. On Sunday mornings, we'll continue our pep talk through the end of John chapter 17. Hope you can join us for that time.